daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day where it is now just 3 weeks until the Iowa caucuses, which could decide, well, they could decide a great deal about the nature of President Trump's opponent. Is the Trump campaign confident that they could beat any of them? Yeah, sure. But do they believe that there would be a difference in terms of the House of Representatives, which Republicans also care about desperately? Yeah, could be a big difference between a lame, impossible Democratic candidate. This is you, Bernie Sanders, the current front runner, and somebody who might more credibly get a lot of those people out there who say they're Democrats to vote for him. The Gallup poll shows that for since 2012, so for 5 years in a row, the lineup has been the same in terms of Democrats having an advantage over Republicans. 47% of Americans say they're either Democrats, according to Gallup, or Democratic-leaning independents. 42% say they're Republican. So how have the Republicans been able to compete and to win elections, state by state? And national elections, President Bush, back in 2004, won a majority of the vote. The answer is turnout. It's all about turnout. And that is very clearly going to be the key for President Trump. We will take a look at a series of polls that say why. There are a number of liberal-leaning commentators who say the key voting block in this coming election, it's going to be young people. They always say that, and it's never true. It just isn't. It depends on how you define young people. If you define young people as people under 25, forget about it. They don't vote, and they're not going to vote this time. And Greta Thunberg's not on the ballot. I'm not voting. This is why the whole push of Democrats to get 16-year-olds the right to vote is so bizarre. If you define young people as people below 35, well, then it's a bigger voting block. And yes, that is the block that helped to elect Barack Obama twice. Will that block help to elect Bernie Sanders? Stranger things have happened. Not many stranger things. That would be pretty strange and very unlikely. We will talk about that. We will also talk about another election that was held, results were announced last night, the Critics' Choice Awards, which in many ways it's the largest critics organization. Yes, I'm a voting member of it. And I'm kicking myself right now because I didn't vote strategically. There was a tie vote for something where my vote could have made a difference. But I voted for, in effect, a third-party candidate on that one. We'll talk about that. That was the race for Best Director at Critics' Choice. They also announced this morning the Oscar nominations. And this is going to be a stark competition between sheer nihilism, which is cynicism, negativity, the world is terrible, life is meaningless, people are evil, the universe is bleak. That point of view, which is represented very well by two well-made films that are nominated for Best Picture, and heroism and love and optimism and decency. That's represented by a couple of pictures that are nominated as well. We will highlight that Oscar race and the way it's shaking out with my brother, Harry Medved, who was there last night at the Critics' Choice Awards. And was covering at 3 in the morning or whenever they announce it, the Oscar nominations this morning. 1-800-955-1776. In terms of the presidential election, today is the day, and you'll remember it always, that the dream died for Cory Booker. And a lot of people are saying, the commentary on the Cory Booker departure from the race, I think he has more support now that he has left the race than he did when he was actually an active candidate. And he's leaving the race, according to all reports and according to Cory himself, because he just wasn't able to generate enough money to sustain his campaign. And no, you don't need to spend like Michael Bloomberg is spending. He spent $200 million already. He spent more to get nowhere so far. I mean, what do you have? He's up there at 5% of the Democratic vote total. He's not even competing in Iowa and New Hampshire. And $200 million, that's more than Trump spent on his whole campaign. I mean, it's completely unbelievable the amounts he's spending. And he's also announced that he would spend five times more than what he spent so far. He'd spend $1 billion in the general election to defeat Trump. And that's even if he's not the nominee, which should mean that if he follows through on that, it's going to crowd out a lot of ads for other things. But you know what? I don't think the networks will complain, and it will be interesting to see how those ads turn out and what they do. Cory Booker didn't have that kind of money, not personally wealthy. And here is what he said about suspending his campaign. Listen.
Today, I'm suspending my campaign for president with the same spirit with which it began. It is my faith in us, together as a nation, that we share common pain and common problems that can only be solved with a common purpose and a sense of common cause. So now I recommit myself to the work. I can't wait to get back on the campaign trail and campaign as hard as I can for whoever is the eventual nominee and for candidates up and down the ballot. But for now, I want to say thank you. Campaigning over this last year has been one of the most meaningful experiences of my life. Meeting you, meeting people across this country who believe, who know that we may have challenges right now in our nation, but together we will rise.
Together, we will rise. If you're so confident that we will rise, why'd you put on that ginky music? Jeremy, do you know what that music was? Jeremy doesn't know. So then, I mean, honestly, it's an okay statement, I guess. I mean, if you're leaving a campaign. But what is this thing they put on the worst and the dumbest music behind it? And what is that supposed to say? In other words, I'm leaving the campaign. Thanks a lot. How do you feel if you maxed out, if you sent in the maximum amount of money to Cory Booker? Maybe nobody did. Actually, he did raise, I think it's close to $10 million. This is real money that people sent the guy. Now, he is probably he's going to be keeping some of that money for a Senate race. I believe, I'm pretty sure he's on the ballot in November for re-election to the United States Senate from New Jersey, where... I mean, even I think it's unlikely people say, oh, Chris Christie's going to run against him. I don't think so. And if Chris Christie did, he would probably lose in New Jersey, which is one of those states that is moving not in a conservative direction. Cory Booker, what went wrong with the campaign? And does this leave the Democrats in a decided dilemma concerning their base? Well, here is the basic story. They're going to have on stage, they're going to have six candidates tomorrow. Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, Pete Buttigieg, Amy Klobuchar, and Tom Steyer. What do you notice about all those candidates? What are you supposed to notice about all those candidates? There's only one person of color on the entire stage, and that's Elizabeth Warren. And she's not a real person of color. I'm teasing about that.
You are speaking truth.
Okay. Elizabeth Warren has less color in her cheeks and in her background than I do. I mean, come on. Elizabeth Warren is a person of color? Are you kidding me?
Whoa!
Yeah, she's a Native American. And by the way, at some point right now, the debate is very likely to be sort of, oh, I don't know, like one of the Oscar-nominated films and one of the films that actually did quite well at the Critics' Choice Award, Marriage Story, right? Marriage Story is about the breakup of a marriage where two people who really like each other end up just going at each other in a in a really punishing way, not with physical abuse, but with every kind of emotional abuse. And that's kind of what's happened to the relationship, the beautiful relationship between Bernie and Liz. Remember, they at one point had a non-aggression pact? I'm looking at a headline here from the New York Times. Warren says Sanders sent volunteers, quote, out to trash me. Oh, boo-hoo. It's called an election. And then there was the report that someone says that Bernie said that a woman could never be elected president. And Bernie is completely denying that and very effectively denying that. I mean, for goodness sake, we're talking about what is likely to be tomorrow night a great, great debate night for Joe Biden. Who knows? Maybe even for Amy Klobuchar or Tom Steyer. But for somebody who's not named Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren, the new polling is all sunshine and roses for Bernie Sanders, which is just an unbelievable thing. By the way, if someone is listening to me right now, and you really think that Bernie Sanders would make a good and successful president of the United States, you want to call me and tell me why? Open line to anyone who wants to make the case for Bernie, because it's honestly, it's one of those things I can hardly believe it, that people are taking his campaign very seriously. 1-800-955-1776 is the phone number. And I understand Bernie has the advantage of consistency. He's been on the far, 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 far left of American politics ever since he went on his honeymoon to Russia. And yes, he speaks out against things like killing Soleimani, calls it an assassination. And yes, he has an appeal to younger voters, and people believe in him and they like it when he attacks the billionaires and the millionaires and he goes after them. But for goodness sake, the new Des Moines Register poll shows Bernie Sanders with 20%. He's followed by Elizabeth Warren, 17%. Then Pete Buttigieg at 16%. And former Vice President Joe Biden at 15%. Would it be bad for Joe Biden if he really finished fourth in Iowa? It would be bad. Would it be fatal for him? No. And here is the secret for why it would not be fatal for him. He has a core of black support that is overwhelming. The only chance that he had that he would lose that core of black support, which is particularly decisive in South Carolina, where Joe Biden's about 20 points ahead. He's very far ahead in South Carolina, which is the third primary. The only chance he had that he would lose it would be to Cory Booker. And Cory Booker now has dropped out. Is it conceivable that Cory Booker would jump in and endorse Joe Biden, maybe with the hope of getting a vice presidential nod? And yes, by the way, it's been done before. You can be both on the ballot to run for re-election for the U.S. Senate and on the ballot as a vice presidential nominee. And yeah, I think that's entirely conceivable. Is it more likely that Joe Biden would pick a female? I think it is. But who's a good female for him to pick? He is not going to pick Elizabeth Warren. Her current whining about Bernie Sanders, who is beating her in their competition, I think has ruled out Elizabeth Warren. And also, she's been just much too specific with a lot of her extraordinarily radical free spending, tax raising plans. And no candidate for president wants to be stuck with that. Not even Bernie Sanders. Boy, there's a nightmare ticket. Bernie and Elizabeth won't happen. Won't happen. Could Bernie Sanders pick a Cory Booker? I think Cory Booker fits better with a Bernie Sanders race than he does with a Joe Biden race. In any event, tomorrow night, they're getting together in this last pre-Iowa showdown. And there's one of the things that I think you should look for is Joe Biden to rise above, to call for party unity, to emphasize the need to beat Trump. And the moderators will 100% certainly try to get Bernie and Liz to mix it up and to really be like Scarlett Johansson and Adam Driver in Marriage Story. A bickering, angry, no more best friends from neighboring states. Basically, we are now going at it to see who is going to be the progressive standard bearer. The new poll from Gallup about partisanship and ideology in the country shows that the Democratic Party is not overwhelmingly left-leaning. And in fact, it has not gotten more liberal. It's gotten just slightly less liberal. It is still a party where conservatives, 14% of Democrats say they're conservative. Are there Democratic conservatives who are going to vote for Bernie or Elizabeth? It is why I think that looking at this thing, this is Joe Biden's race to lose, and it continues to be his race to lose. Joe Biden at 15%, according to the Des Moines Register CNN poll. Amy Klobuchar is at 6%, while entrepreneur Andrew Yang down at 5%. Andrew Yang did not qualify. He did not do well enough in the polls. He's not going to be at the debate, which I know is a huge disappointment to his dozens of followers and supporters. Buttigieg, Sanders, and Warren have each led the Iowa poll at some point this cycle, as the field continues to shift. Now, here's the fascinating thing. It's 3 weeks before the primary. And remember, this is not a primary where you just send in a vote or you just mark a ballot, where you actually have to go out in the cold. And I've been there. I've been in Iowa in January. Iowa in February, on February 3rd, when the caucuses are, is cold. It's seriously cold. It's you have to go out there in the cold and sit at a caucus and declare your support for a candidate and then pick a second candidate if your candidate doesn't get the 15%. And the percentage of those who say their mind is made up about which candidate they're going to go out and caucus on. Okay, according to this poll, it's 40%. So does that mean that anything is possible? It does. It means there could be huge surprises here. Back in November, last time they had a major poll like this, the percentage in Iowa who said they'd made up their minds was 30%. So 10% in all this time have made up their minds. That still leaves 45% who say they could be persuaded to support someone else. And another 13% say, I don't know. I haven't picked a favorite candidate yet. Those are probably people who are less likely to turn out for the Iowa caucuses. Elizabeth Warren trying to go for the, I don't know what vote she's trying to go for, because honestly, Bernie Sanders has the socialist-leaning people up. Remember Elizabeth Warren? She is now trying to figure out what she does with the fact that at the beginning of her campaign, she said, I'm a capitalist to my bones. And which comes to the fact that she used to be a Republican. Yes, she did. And she used to be a self-described free marketeer. She has moved way, way to the left. Why? And she also wants to eliminate nuclear weapons. No, not from Iran, from the United States. And she also believes that she is the only way to save the planet. We will get to these wonderful highlights from Elizabeth Warren and to your calls. Also, there's a probing bit of anthropology going on here. Why is it that there are so many young boys, but very few young girls, who insist on wearing shorts all winter, even in places like Iowa or Seattle, which is very cold at the moment, with some snow? We will be right back on The Michael Medved Show, 1-800-955-1776, our phone number. Hey, thanks for checking out The Michael Medved Show. And if you enjoy the program, please consider rating it and then writing a brief review. This helps our show tremendously, and in the long term, that can help ensure that we will keep bringing this content to you absolutely free. Now, just a reminder, this is an abridged version of our daily 3-hour radio show. There's much, much more. And you can get our full program, plus you get commentaries, a brand new podcast, In the Light of History, and access to more private conversations with me. Now, that's all by becoming a premium member at michaelmedved.com. That's michaelmedved.com. Click on the MedHead banner and become a MedHead today. It's just $5 a month when you get a yearly subscription. It comes to 16 cents a day. That's for your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. Please join us by becoming a MedHead and tell a friend. Above all, thanks for listening. On the Michael Medved show, I think it might have gone better for Cory Booker if he had played this music behind his withdrawal statement. Billie, who'd you say, Chair? Billie Eilish is she? Okay, thank you. In any event, see, then that would have worked better for Cory Booker. He touches on some of the gender balance that everybody is trying to assert. And the same way that they are saying that they used to say Oscars so white, that used to be a thing. There is a prominent black actress nominated for Best Actress. This year they are saying Oscar so male, particularly in Best Supporting Actor, it's entirely male. I'm kidding. It's the big thing they said talk about is Best Director, which is all male directors. Greta Gerwig did not get nominated, as was widely expected for her film Little Women. We will get to that. The voting for Oscars will come after the voting for New Hampshire. And after the voting for Iowa. And one of the factors there is this stunning Pew Research survey poll where they asked this question, and they asked it of a whole big representative panel of Americans. Overall, do you believe that the U.S. stands above all other countries? Or that it is one of the greatest countries in the world, along with some others? Or that there are other countries that are better than the U.S. Okay, think about yourself now for a moment. Of course, I would say that, yes, I believe that the United States stands above all other countries. 24% of Americans think that's true. Big majority, 55%, take the safe middle road. No, I don't know, you know, we're one of the greatest countries, along with some others. I mean, Switzerland's pretty cool. Norway does really well. Yeah, we're one of the greatest countries, along with Liechtenstein and Luxembourg and Botswana. Okay, but 1 in 5 say there are other countries that are better than the U.S.? Here is the killer part about this. The killer part about this is when you come to adults between the ages of 18 and 29, those mystical young people, 36% say other countries are better than the U.S. That, to me, is amazing. It's not because they're better traveled. That's not why. It's ideological. Democrats, among Democrats who are under 30, 47% say there are other countries that are better than the U.S. That's amazing. Among Democrats over 50, just 20% say that to be true. Why would that be? Why would young people be so down on America's standing in the rest of the world? We will get to that on the Medved show. Maybe it's because people like Elizabeth Warren contrast the United States with more advanced social welfare countries, social democratic countries like the Scandinavian countries that everybody is supposed to admire so much. Here is Elizabeth Warren on the survival of our planet. Listen.
I want to thank you all for being here. You know, I think we all know that 2020 election is not just about the next 4 years, not just about the next 8 years. The 2020 election may well be about the survival of our planet. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for being here, because you're going to help the planet survive by going out to an Elizabeth Warren rally. And then she speaks about nuclear weapons. And let me just say here that anyone who actually has read the history of this world over the course of the last several thousand years understands that nuclear weapons have been one of the greatest blessings for mankind and have helped to contribute to the kind of less violent, better world that Steven Pinker, Harvard professor and left-leaning Harvard professor, has documented in his last two books, Enlightenment Now and before that, Better Angels of Our Nature. Okay, why do I say nuclear weapons have been such a good thing? When nuclear weapons were developed, when we dropped the atom bomb in August of 1945 on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, it's the only time nuclear weapons have ever been used against human beings. I mean, it hasn't been used against animals either, or space aliens. Sorry, it hasn't. The nuclear weapons have only been used in warfare on that one month, those two occasions, to end World War II. Not to begin a new conflict, not to devastate humanity. And I'm saying that the results of the bomb weren't devastating for people who were living in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. What I am saying is that it has been remarkable and a blessing beyond measure that they have not been used since then. And they have not been used because they provide the most effective possible deterrence. Is it conceivable that some incredibly evil Russian leader, can you say Joseph Stalin, would have used nuclear weapons against the United States if we didn't have them? Sure. Is it conceivable that Mao Zedong, probably the worst butcher in human history, would have used nuclear weapons, which China got eventually, if other countries hadn't had the nuclear weapons to counteract them? The point is, deterrence works. But that doesn't stop Elizabeth Warren from saying this.
I also have been opposed to the direction that the Trump administration has taken and certain folks in Congress to expanding our nuclear arsenal so that there are more nuclear weapons, for example, on submarines. So there are more short-range nuclear weapons. Actually, there are people in Congress who talk about usable nuclear weapons. I don't want usable nuclear weapons. That does not make us safer.
Okay, it does not make us safer? Because having unusable nuclear weapons makes us safer? This is idiotic. And then there is this, which is a crucial issue to Senator Warren. Listen.
With the LGBTQ community, we have to protect all of our people. And it works all the way through the system. You know, we were talking earlier about criminal justice. One of the things we have to think about as a nation, we have to stop putting trans women who are incarcerated into prisons with men where they are at risk. And it's our responsibility.
It's our responsibility, and she supports the lawsuit that was heard in the state of Massachusetts where they required this guy who murdered his wife. He murdered her horribly. He was serving a life prison term. He decided he wanted to be a woman. He really was a woman. And he sued and he sued and he sued. The Supreme Court of the state of Massachusetts, no appeal from that, declared that Massachusetts had to spend the $700,000 to put him through surgery and to move him over to a woman's prison.
And reproductive justice.
Okay. I'm sorry, that is a grotesque waste of taxpayer money. It is a miscarriage of justice. It is wrong, wrong, wrong. There are attempts right now in states across the country to try to ban men who say they are women from competing in athletic events at high school level. What about those attempts? Should they be favored? Of course they should. We'll be right back on the MedVet Show. This is Michael Medved at michaelmedved.com for Town Hall. On one point regarding our country's current condition, Republicans and Democrats seem to agree. Three quarters in both parties say religion is losing influence in American life. According to a new study for Pew Research Center, Republicans consider that a bad thing by a ratio of 9-1, while half of Democrats say they're okay with the trend. 22% say religion's decline makes no difference, while 25% insist that it's a positive development. But if organized faith continues to lose influence, what force should take its place? Climatism, a new faith, derided by Yosef Yaffe in Commentary Magazine, promises earthly annihilation instead of heavenly salvation. For 100 years, Marxist true believers created heavens on earth that became living hells for hundreds of millions, and unbridled secular materialism has recently spurred surging rates of deaths of despair. The spectacular failure of potential substitutes for organized faith have only served to emphasize its irreplaceability. I'm Michael Medved. On the Michael Medved Show, I was mentioning this issue of trans athletes because there was a photograph in the Wall Street Journal that it seems to me that old Chinese saying that a photograph is worth 10,000 words. This is a photograph in Connecticut, in Bloomfield, Connecticut, where Bloomfield High School transgendered athlete Terry Miller won the final of the 55-meter dash in a Connecticut girls track meet in New Haven in February of 2019. And there's a picture of Terry Miller. Terry Miller is not a girl. I'm sorry. He may say so, but if you look at this photograph, it's incredibly unfair for Terry Miller to be racing against young females. It just is. Terry Miller is a large and very muscular young man, and he looks like he's a superb athlete. But the point about this is that if we're going to allow young men who identify as female to compete against females, then you're saying one of two things, or maybe both things you're saying, and both are completely untenable. Number one, you're saying that there's no difference between men and women. That why should you have separate events at all if young men who say they want to compete with women are allowed to do so? Why should there even be separate events? In other words, if Terry Miller, who's been a male all his life, decides he wants to be a female, fine, he can still compete with males if he wants to. That it seems to me, is perfectly appropriate. But allowing him to compete with females is ridiculous. Because if you're going to have separate events at all, why do you have separate events? Because you recognize there are core differences between men and women. And here you are either saying that somehow when you say, I am a woman, this changes everything about you physically. It doesn't. It doesn't change anything about you physically. Or you're saying that there's no difference between men and women. And if there's no difference between men and women, why not let everybody compete against everybody else? And men win all the track events, and women win all the gymnastics events. Congratulations. In recent weeks, reports the Wall Street Journal,